Good morning.
Good morning, Ron.
Welcome to the service. I'm not John Paul, obviously, but we'll get by somehow, right? So thank you, John, for those songs and talking about the body and unity and things like that. As you can tell, from our scripture, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be talking about the body. So if I had a title, it's called Who is the Body? Not Who is in the Body. That's a different judgmental thing for somebody else later. But my question is, who is the body? Okay. And so before I get started, if you haven't heard me before, because of my background and my, you know, left-handedness and every other quirky thing, what I like to do is go from pretty theoretical to the application. Another way to look at that, and I'm doing right now, another way to look at that is I go top-down. So big picture down to the small detail. Another way of looking at that is, it's called triangulation. So in research, we try to find one article from this area that proves something, and then we try to find another article from over here, and we put them together from several different perspectives to come up with something new or to prove something different. That's called triangulation. Same thing if you're in navigation, like in the Boy Scouts, and orienteering. If you can find your point, your position, from three other landmarks, hopefully from 120 degrees apart, right, as far away from each other as possible, then that's called triangulation, and you can pretty well define exactly where you're at. We call it DFing in ham radio, amateur radio. If we can hear a signal from three different signals, then we can pinpoint our area. So, triangulation, top down. Another way of talking about this is the context. So I go from the context, big picture context, to the general meeting down to the specific application. So without me saying it every time, if you think I'm like off the deep end and going on this rabbit trail or rabbit hole, and just pretend I'm not. I might be, but pretend I'm not. Pretend that, oh, this may be a different perspective to look at the same thing. All right? So, all that was just to kind of get your brain warmed up. Okay. I'll give one example of that. We talked about Revelation. We're in chapter 5 here. We just happen to be in chapter 13, 14, where I'm at down in Clinton Street now, on Clinton Church of Christ now. So, in Revelation, the big picture is God wins, right? Remain faithful. It's not going to be easy, but remain faithful. God wins in the end. The time is near. But if you get to a specific two or three chapters, there is a specific lesson, if you will. Chapter 13 says, if you're going to be taken into, some of you, if you're going to be taken into captivity you will go. If you're going to be killed, then you'll be killed. But this calls for patient endurance. So that's a general thing. Right? But it was more specific than God wins in the end. And then, it's like right now, if you're in China, this really applies. I haven't mentioned it, but there's an organization called Voice of Martyrs, V-O-M, the Voice of the Martyrs. And it's a publication and an organization, a mission, that keeps track of the persecutions around the world for Christians. And in China right now, they are being killed, have been for a while. Other countries as well. They don't have to just be Muslim countries. And so this specifically applies to them, that Revelation chapter 13. And so we go from the very general to a general application to a very specific thing. And so today I'm going to do the same thing as we talk about the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians. So here we go. Big picture. 1 Corinthians. Why did Paul write 1 Corinthians? Well, when I read 1 Corinthians, I read it as a letter. So I don't read a chapter. I don't read a verse. Just go way back and just read the letter one time. And see what pops out. And to me, what pops out, starting in chapter 1, I'll be in verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Okay, so I think that's going to be the thesis of the book, of the letter, if you will. The main, and I'm going to show that here in the next couple minutes. But before that, as Paul normally does, he gives them some sort of encouragement or praise. And so he does that in verse 4. I always thank my God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in Him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. So he's saying, you all have been really blessed and I'm thankful. You've been given all kinds of gifts. And the inference there, if I went into detail, is that, and you're using them. So that's his praise. And then he says, but I wish you wouldn't have so many divisions. And then he goes in and he talks about, you know, because one of you says, I am from Paul. I follow Paul. I follow Paulus. Another, I follow Cephas. Another still, I follow Christ. Was Christ divided? And he goes through. So pretty big hint that we're talking about divisions. And I could go through several. I don't know how many I have time to go for. In chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, he talks about, brothers and sisters, I could address you as people who live by the Spirit, but you're still worldly. So you're immature. Why? Well, 3 and 4. There's jealousy and quarreling. You're worldly. Why would you quarrel? Because you're dividing. You have different ideas and different things. So you're jealous and you're divided. In 3 verse 10, here's a key that he jumps to the answer. In 3 verse 10 he says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then he goes and tells a story about that. But the answer to all this division isn't I follow Paul and I follow Cephas and I follow all these Apollos, other people. Basically, what was happening is if someone baptized them, they thought that this specific, any opinion they might have had, that's what had to be it. And so that wasn't what Paul was trying to say. That wasn't what Jesus was trying to say. But that we're all one in Christ and that He is the only foundation. So Paul and Apollos and all these other preachers and brothers and sisters in Christ, they're going to grow and learn from the Word and their ideas might be a tiny bit different, but we have one foundation that we're building on. And so we need to think about that. Chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. And this is just for today's time. think about this on how you need to be courageous and stand up for truth. Just think about that. 1 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 3. I care very little if I am but judged by you or any human court. Indeed, I don't even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. So, don't judge each other, which is the division that was going on. One was saying, I'm following Apollos. How come you're not? You're following somebody else. You need to do like I am. But don't worry about that. Don't judge each other. And don't worry about it. You know, we need to de-escalate on both sides. If someone is judging you, just brush it off. That's what he says here. I care very little if I'm judged by you or even in some human court. He wants to do what's right no matter what. 4 verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, which is another thing that was causing division. Talking about, yeah, we have to do this little traditional thing, and we have to do it this way, and all this division. He says, and again, I'm jumping into verses for time, but read the whole context. He says, I can't start with 20, I have to start with 18. Can't abbreviate that much. Okay. Verse 18, 4:18. For some of you have become arrogant as if I were not coming to you, but I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing. And then I will find out how these arrogant people are talking. Not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. So keep that in mind. It's kind of like the fruit of the Spirit, right? It's about what the fruit that's being produced in you. That's the fruit of the Spirit. You can tell a Christian by their fruit. Right. So, don't worry about what these people are saying, or don't try to win by just saying something, but by showing the power of God in what you do. Alright. Yeah. 6, he's talking about, again, I'm just going through quickly some things that are divisions. Chapter 6, if any of you has a dispute with one another, dare you take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the Lord's people? Or do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world? And if you're going to judge the world, aren't you competent to judge trivial cases yourselves? So here they were. They were having divisions and they were getting heated about it. And they were taking it to court. Divisions. Almost every chapter or every other chapter, Paul is bringing something up about divisions. And it just keeps going all through the letter. So that's why I think that the theme of this, the context of this letter is stop having divisions. Now, if we start in chapter 11, he goes into another section, if you will. I think 11 through 14 are about the same section. Right? The whole letter is about divisions and not having divisions, yet he gives different examples or different incidences about that. And I think in chapter 11, he kind of starts another one. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And then he says, I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the traditions just as I passed them on to you. But I want you to realize, and then he goes on and talks about covering man and the woman, covering, not covering, all those kinds of things. And then he says in verse 13, judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray, right? And then he says, if anyone wants to be contentious, verse 16, we don't have any other practice. Okay. Verse 17, so we had basically in verse 16, in verse 2, he had praise for them. But then in verse 17, he turns it to the other side. He says, in the following directives, I have no praise. For your meetings do more harm than good. So now in verses 17 through about the end of 14, maybe 15, depending on how you want to think about it. He's talking about when they meet together. But what's the theme of the letter? Divisions? Why would this section be about anything else? All the rest of it is about divisions. So I think this section is about divisions. So let's take it from that perspective and see what happens here. 11:17. In the following directives, I have no praise for you. Your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. There it is, flat out. They're meeting together and there's divisions. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you eat. For when you're eating, some of you go ahead on your own with your private suppers. As a result, one of you remains hungry and another gets drunk. All right, for context here, the word drunk doesn't necessarily mean alcohol, I'm drunk. If you look in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. Those are the exact same Greek word. Drunk just means filled. So don't be filled up with wine, but be filled up with the Holy Spirit. And here, I think, again, I'm not a translator. Okay, I'm not trying to be a translator. But if you read that filled, as drunk, as filled, I think it makes a lot of sense. As a result, one remains hungry and the other one is a glutton. Right? So some people, they don't have enough to eat, right? They're really poor, they're Christians, they're coming, and they brought all they could, which was, I don't know, a stale piece of bread. And then somebody else is bringing caviar. And they're just being gluttonous about it. And it's causing division. Remember James where he says, you're giving special attention to the rich person. Yeah, come up here and sit with me. Oh, poor person, go sit in the back. Are you not discriminating? What does discriminate? What does discriminate mean? Well, in our context right now, it means you are creating divisions. Isn't that what discrimination means, if you think about it? If you're discriminating one kind of money from another, you're dividing it out so you can tell, you know, this kind of money and this kind of money. If you're discriminating against people of different colors, aren't you not dividing that out? Right? So in James, when he says, yeah, when you pay special attention to the rich people, aren't you discriminating among them? Right? Aren't you the one causing division when you're the one discriminating? And that's what's happening here in 1 Corinthians 11. Some of you don't have enough to bring, and others of you eat full. You're being proud with all your food, and you're making the other guy look really bad. You're making him feel really bad. That's causing division.
Oh dear.
Okay. So then he says, you know, verse 23, from what I received from the Lord, I passed on to you. And we hear this often on Sunday morning for the Lord's Supper, right? And then in verse 28, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. 29, for those who eat and drink without discerning, discriminating, see the two words that kind of mean the same thing but have a completely different indication, if you will. 29, for those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. So then, we have to be careful, right, when we're taking the Lord's Supper. We don't want to be eating and drinking damnation, judgment on ourselves. Well, one of the ways we can do that is by not discriminating the body of Christ. And typically we will think right here, oh, the body of Christ, that's Jesus hanging on the cross. If we're not discerning, if we're not thinking about Jesus hanging on the cross, suffering in pain for our sins, which we're supposed to, right? Then we're drinking judgment on ourselves. But what is this letter about? Divisions. What is the body of Christ? Well, let's jump ahead real quick because of time. I'll come back a little bit. But he says, 29, 12:11-29. Whoever eats and drinks without discerning the body of Christ, eats and drinks judgment. Fast forward to 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ. He defines it for us. Right here in this whole big long context on divisions, the body of Christ is the people. And specifically, we're talking about while you're meeting together, chapters 11 through 14, when you're meeting together, you are the body of Christ. So when you're taking the Lord's Supper without discerning the body of Christ, what does that mean? Well, let's go to Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount. When you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, go ahead and make your offering and then after church make sure you go, no, that doesn't say that, right? Whew, she got worried. Okay. When you are there offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there at the altar and first go be reconciled to your brother and then come and make your offering. See, we can't worship God. We can't think about Jesus hanging on the cross and being suffering for us if we're not first thinking about other people. Does that make sense? And so, who is the body of Christ? Who are we supposed to be thinking about, discerning, when we're taking the Lord's Supper? And again, I don't want to make this a Lord's Supper thing. This is really a division thing about Corinthians. And a little more specifically, when we're meeting together. So whether it's at a potluck or standing in the back or just the body of Christ in general, we need to be discerning. We need to be thinking about the body. And to help us think about the body, he gives us a whole two chapters. So, in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I'll come, I'll give you further directions. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, usually it's brethren, which is both. I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So, again, kind of back to chapter 3, there's only one foundation, that's Jesus Christ. So whatever we're going to be doing about these spiritual gifts, they have to be from Christ, and they have to be from the Spirit, capital S and lowercase s, from the Spirit of Christ. There are, in verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And he goes through at the through verse 11 there, talking about how to distinguish between the spirits and how do you contest them and a few things like that. And then in verse 12, he says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts, or many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, or any other divisive thing you can think about. And we were all given one Spirit to get filled with. It says to drink. So, even though the body is not made up, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And you go through and it talks about an eye and an ear and a foot and different parts of the body. So in just 3 or 4 minutes, I want you all, and I'm thinking about it too, what part are you? Are you an eye or an ear? What are you? And don't look, okay, but think about who is in this building right now. It's impolite to look, right, but I can look. Identify in your mind, let's make a little discernment, who are all the different people in the body right now? Oh yeah, there's that guy. He only comes once every month. He must be the big toe, you know, or something. That's from Stripes. That's a, don't watch that movie, it's bad. So, we are different parts of the body, right? Who's not here today? Look, we can say something. Who's not here today?
Mary Joy.
Mary Joy? Okay, Mary Joy's not here today. Is she not a part of the body? She is. Has anyone thought of her except just now? Okay, so when you're eating and drinking without discerning the body, when you're eating and drinking the Lord's Supper, when you come here together, are you not also thinking about other parts of the body than the ones who are here showing their face? Hi, Facebook people. Right? They're not showing their face. They are part of the body. How about the one who we don't even recognize? He was here a couple times. He was a baptized believer. I don't see him here this morning. He came one of the times before I left, like 3 months ago or something. I don't see him here today. Chances are none of you have even made contact with him since then. He went through, I'm pretty sure, a pretty hard divorce or something, or an illness or something. Where is he? Who's been discerning him? So, he's a big tall guy. He might be on Facebook, I hope. Hi. Who's discerning him? Which part of the body is that? But it's someone that we need to be responsible to and care for. So, if you think about it, now let's go. But I'm going to go in 12:24. No, I can't. Sorry. All right, 21. I can go back that far. 12:21. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker, like the ones that only come once a month, because they must be weaker. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And I get emotional with this.
What?
The one that comes once a month is indispensable? No, we're the core. We're the ones that come every week. But Paul, through the Holy Spirit, says those parts are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable of our body, we treat with special honor. Notice, not only am I wearing pants, I'm also wearing underpants. Just to get graphic, I'm protecting part of the parts that deserve more honor. They're pretty gross and we think less honorable, right? We try to hide them, but we treat them with more respect. But they're the ones that seem like maybe not. And so he says here, and the parts of the body that are unpresentable, see, I'm not making this up. He's the one who started it. And the parts of the body that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty. Who in the body is unpresentable? Which person with the alcoholic tendencies that we don't want to mention as part of our church that's indispensable to our body? Wait, I don't know why he's indispensable. He is, and I bet you if we reached out more and included more, we'd find out why he's indispensable. I bet you we would. Okay. I have to read that one more time because I get lost. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. You don't have to honor me. I'm already getting honored by getting to be in front of you and speak. I mean, you don't have to come up to me after the sermon and say, oh, good job, good, nice job. I've already got my honor. I got to speak before you. How about, and that's like 2 James 5 again, right? Oh, and to the one who's the preacher, oh, make sure you shake his hand and make sure you do all those wonderful things. He doesn't need that. How about the one who wouldn't have otherwise even said hi? The one who's too shy, the one who has OCD, or the one who is autistic, or the one who has all these things and just needs some reassurance that the reason he came here was a good reason. And don't make him sorry he came. Why do you think they're probably not here right now? It's because without thinking it, we discriminated against them. Yeah. So, God has put, I'm in 24. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so there should be no division in the body. But Satan causes us to make it a source of division. That's what Satan does. He turns everything upside down. He doesn't just turn inside out. He also turns it upside down. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, like the one who's not here because we probably made him suffer somehow, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. We may not know how, but we're suffering with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Verse 27, now you are that body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church these different functions. So, who is the body of Christ? Well, we are. Who else is the body of Christ? They are. The ones that we don't think are presentable. So we try to hide them. And one easy way to hide them is just not hound them to be part of our group. That's easy. We do that for kids, right? It's called extinction, right? It's a form of discipline. You extinguish poor behavior just by ignoring it. You don't address it. You just ignore it. It's called extinguishment. It's a way. So how do we extinguish the parts that we don't think are honorable? Just don't keep on them. Don't invite them back. Don't call them up and say, hey, on a Thursday or a Tuesday, hey, I was just going out to eat. I was wondering if you want to come with me. Hey, I'm going to go do this. You want to come with me? We can get to know each other better. There's all kinds of ways that we can do that, but we need to discern the body. And the body isn't the core that comes here. We can talk about, again, I'm stopping, okay, but we can talk about the parable of the tares, right? Who, and it says already in Corinthians that we read, I'm not going to judge, God will judge. If someone came here and said that they were a member of the church, and this is my opinion, the elders here are going to say whatever, but I'm not going to say, have you done this, 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 and this, and this, and this. That's not going to be the next thing out of my mouth. The next thing is, well, good, glad you're here. And then you get to know them better. And if at some point you figure out, well, they weren't even baptized. Well, okay, we can talk about that. But if they come here identifying themselves as a Christian, then what we need to do is, even if they're a tare, right, not a wheat, God's going to judge that at some point, right? Don't pull up the tare now, because it'll kill the wheat too, right? And as an individual or as a church, that one person might have a tare and a wheat in him, right? I do. Don't tear me down completely because I have this one bad habit. Right? It might ruin my entire spiritual path. I'll grow out of it as long as you keep trusting in me and keep encouraging me. I'll grow out of it. At some point, it'll be the right time to tell me specifically, hey, you need to stop that. But if you do that at the beginning, I just won't listen to you. All right, so there's all kinds of more stuff. This could have been 3 hours easily, but I'm not. Okay. So, think about the body of Christ. Think about what it means to discern the body of Christ. And again, I'm not here just to say, during the Lord's Supper, you have to think this way now. But it is maybe another aspect if you hadn't thought about it. Right? Before you come, Matthew 5, before you come to the closest place in our worship service to Christ, is there something, even if you don't physically go to someone else, is there something that you need to address in your mind about this other brother or sister that's part of the body that you hadn't been previously discerning, so that you can have a clear conscience, even if it is, you know, maybe you should. Maybe there should be more people walking out right before we take the Lord's Supper to go fix things. Maybe that should be what happens. I don't know. I'm not going to go there. But we can at least spiritually, mentally do that and commit then to do things. All right. So that is my lesson today. It's about unity, as opposed to the divisiveness that was in 1 Corinthians. And specifically, we are the body of Christ. Think about who that really means. It's not just us here today. It's the ones that we know would have been here, the ones who we have forgotten about, although they might think they're part of this church. That's who the body of Christ is. If you're not part of that body of Christ, let me encourage you. It really is a good way. We're talking about, you know, some negativity every once in a while here, but it's the foundation that Christ laid. We're all trying to build on it. And so, if you don't have Christ as your foundation, then that's your next step. So, however that might have to be, maybe you've already been baptized, you've been a Christian, and you're realizing that, you know, you started building somewhere else on some foundation of sand. We're going to sing this song. Come forward. And if you have anything for the elders to pray about, then come forward while we stand and sing.